We're Doug and Will, and we are off the rails, off the rails. And we are off the rails,
off the rails.
Yeah, off the rails.
Ooh, welcome! You're listening to Off the Rails, a podcast that's rarely recorded with little preparation and two uninformed guys. I'm Doug, and with me as always, welcome, William!
Yes, sir, what's going on?
William, hi, how are you? It's been a long time.
Yeah, I forgot to wait for the audience clap. Hello. This is our first pod in, 4 weeks, Douglas?
I think we're in between 3 and 4. We're a little longer than 3, but not quite 4.
Okay, It's not awful.
It's not bad. I was going to start it off with you could set your clocks, you could set your calendars, you could set something by how many, because, never mind. So yeah, welcome. Let's do this. Hi, how are you? I don't even know how to do these anymore. How do we start this thing off? Do we talk about us? Do I ask you questions? I don't even know what to do anymore.
Yeah, ask you questions, and then I'll ask you questions. If you have follow-ups, you can ask me more follow-ups. Go ahead, bring it. Bring it to me. Let's go. Here we go.
All right. How are you?
Well, I feel like we've already covered that particular question. I'm doing well, Doug. I'm doing
good.
Well.
Good. Fantastic.
Sunday fun day. What is it? May. It's May 20th, Douglas. I think
right?
We're going well.
May 20th. Who knew it? Fantastic. Yeah. And you've got somewhere to be in 1 hour. We've got to keep this prompt. You got places to go.
There's a live stream happening at 2 p.m., Douglas, of the Foo Fighters. And I think we're going to find out who their drummer is. So I'm watching the live stream on the internet.
Oh, and is this a festival? Is this just a concert?
No, it's just a thing they're doing in their studio on some app called Veeps, I believe is what the app is called.
Oh.
They've been teasing it for a few days now, so I'm going to look into it, see what all the hubbub is about.
Fantastic. And for those of you that want to find out what the hubbub is all about without watching it yourselves, be sure to tune in to No Judgments Here, a podcast co-hosted by William Hendrickson and Mike Shoki, all about music, music news, music tours, music reviews, music, and it has music. It's all about music. Oh, No Judgments Here.
There you go. There you go, Douglas. Hey, Doug, I went to Vegas last weekend.
You did go to Vegas last weekend, and that was... It was a short notice trip, yeah?
Yeah, it was very short notice. I didn't have a ticket because the concert I was going to had been sold out since November. I didn't get a ticket until Tuesday or Wednesday at well below face value, I'm happy to brag about.
Nice.
And then made the weekend trip to Vegas. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm glad you're able to go do that.
I've been in a decade. Full decade.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been about that long since I've been there as well.
You were there a decade ago.
It might have been a little, longer than that. Maybe it was less than that, but it's right around that time.
What'd you do when you went last time?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you went to Vegas like a decade ago. I feel like we haven't talked about it before, and I'm just curious. Who'd you go with? What'd you do? How was it? Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you want to... it was with my ex-girlfriend, Stephanie. Okay. She and I went. We were gifted a free room and board at the fantastically beautiful Riviera, I think. I think whatever casino it is, I don't think it's there anymore.
All right.
I'm pretty sure it's the Riviera. It was a dump. It was a great time. And what did we do? We did a shit ton of gambling. We went to the World Series of Poker. We got to see the final table, the final hand. It went till about 3 o'clock in the morning. We were at the casino watching that.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. That was unplanned. We just happened to go to the buffet at the casino where the World Series of Poker was at, unbeknownst to us. And went and watched that for a while. So that was pretty cool.
Is like brand new information to me right now. Like, I feel like I've never heard this. I don't know if we were talking a decade ago. I feel like we did talk a decade ago. All of this you're telling me, brand new.
I'd like to think we were still in communication a decade ago. I don't know why we wouldn't have been. I put this on you that you just don't remember.
That's probably correct. I mean, why would I remember your trip to Vegas 10 years ago?
You know. Well, because you don't care about me and you put that out of your brain.
Well, do you recall the trip I made a decade ago?
Absolutely, I remember the trip you made a decade ago to Las Vegas.
Okay, go ahead. Give me some of those details. Well,
I'll tell you what happened. See, what you did is you went to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you you had gone to you went to some music. You saw some music. People listened to some music.
Yeah.
And you ate food, and you stayed in a casino on the Strip, and you just had a really good time. I remember it like it was yesterday, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I mean, as the more I talk about it, it's just like, it's almost like I was there with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, that I guess that's my bad. You nailed it. That's exactly what I did a decade ago. So
yeah. You did a little gambling, not a lot. Not much at all, but you did just because you were there, and you needed to be able to say, I did some gambling. Played a little bit of roulette, if memory serves me correctly.
That's 100% correct. That is right. Wow. Look at you. Yeah. Wow. Aren't I the fool?
Still trapped. That's what they call me.
Still trapped, Douglas. That's it.
Proof is in the pudding.
There you go.
Well, good. And you had a great time in Las Vegas. You didn't do any gambling this trip, did you? The hotel you stayed at, it appears the casino was under, maybe they were having some work done on the casino or something. It didn't look like it was popping.
It was empty. The old Embassy Suites Vegas, as many, I'm sure, visit a little bit off the Strip, a little bit off the beaten path. I was what I felt was across the street from the new MGM Sphere, which I'm really looking forward to seeing how that's going to go. So I got a good view of that the next, not in the nighttime, but in the daytime. I didn't realize it was right there. And it was great. Went to a festival in the middle of a desert, 96 degree weather on a Saturday. A great idea. Went exactly as you would think it would go. It was all well.
There was some people I follow on Snapchat were at that concert you were at as well. Mr. Vine, he's Vine. I didn't really know anything about Vine. I didn't watch Vine, didn't use Vine, don't know anything about Vine, but there's a Vine famous individual that I now follow by the name of Charlie Classic. He was at that show you were at. Then there is a graffiti artist extraordinaire, really good friends with the people of Head PE. His name is D Lord Inc. He was at the festival as well, with a bunch of other people that I follow. So I got to see the festival through your Snapchat and through three other people's Snapchats.
Nice. Nice. I do not know those people. I didn't see them. I didnn't run into them.
Well, it's possible you did. You just didn't know it.
That's true. That is true. That is correct.
I love that you stay at the Embassy Suites. You are a loyal Embassy Suites stayer person. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
You utilize, if you go somewhere that's going to require a overnight, you are at an Embassy Suites.
Pretty much nonstop Embassy Suites. The only other one is the Hampton Inn. As well, I do enjoy the Hampton Inn as well, and I shouldn't be loyal to the Embassy Suites because they did kick me out of one of their hotels once, but I came back anyway. I am an Embassy Suites through and through, and that's from my parents. My parents were Embassy Suites guests.
Okay,
their relationship.
Does Embassy Suites know you're so loyal to them?
I get points for staying there, so they know it through my points I get points. They know that much.
We're going to have our people reach out to Embassy Suite to see if we can get them on as a sponsor.
That'd be great. I will say the one time I did get kicked out of an Embassy Suites and I complained about it, I did not get a lot of sympathy or a whole bunch of corrective action. And so I don't know if they're really, you know, on board with me. You know, I stay there most of the time. I probably don't travel enough anymore for them to care that I am a constant embassy suite.
Can you share with the people why and how long ago it was that you got kicked out and why you got kicked out of an embassy suite?
Yeah, it was about a decade ago. I went to Kansas City for the weekend, old DG and me, and I tried to check in early. They wouldn't allow it. And so I went over to the B-dubs to watch college football in the UFC fight all day long. I called them at 2, let them know that I'm at the bar and that I wouldn't be there until late. They said, it's okay, your reservation is confirmed. And then when we got there after the bar, they had given my room to somebody else. I caused a commotion and they kicked me out of the hotel.
That's some bullshit. What kind of a commotion did you cause?
I did the Seinfeld car rental reservation speech a couple times. Nice. with expletives. I was letting the expletives fly, but I was like, anybody can take a reservation, but you gotta know how to hold the reservation. I probably did that 3 or 4 times, and it was probably funny the first time, but it probably was not funny after that. So we were removed from that hotel. But we did end up at another Hilton where there was a wedding party happening on our floor, and we got some free beer out of that, so it ended up okay.
Fantastic. And who doesn't, and you know, Las Vegas, destination for many, the Embassy Suites at Las Vegas, yeah. Prime staying place when you go to Las Vegas, number one destination for vacationers, Embassy Suites off the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's right next to the convention center. So if you got a big convention you're going to, nice. Hit it up. Embassy Suites, Las Vegas.
I didn't know anything about this sphere until actually maybe a week or so before you left to go to Vegas. Unbeknownst to me that you were going, I saw something about this sphere being well over budgeted, $2 billion or something. $2 billion. It only seats 1,000, 3,000, 4,000, 2,000?
No.
700? 400?
It seats 18,000.
Oh,
you're good with numbers. I do recall this about you with all numbers. It is an arena size sphere, but it seats 18,000. It's for concerts and movies only. It's not going to be a sporting place unless they do esports there, and they are $1 billion over budget.
It doesn't look that big. It doesn't look like it's going to seat 18,000 people.
I have no idea how that's going to take place. It does not look that big at all. And I will say I flew over the SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles on the way to Vegas as my connection.
Yeah.
The place holds 70,000, and it does not look that big at all. I've been told that it's actually built 5 stories underground, and that's why it doesn't look that big, which is interesting. But I thought the same thing for both the Sphere and the SoFi Stadium.
And the Sphere's... there's not a lot online. There's no images. I don't believe it's been a minute, but I don't think I was able to find any renderings of the inside of the sphere.
I think there's some things out there. I mean, it's getting written about now because U2 has now announced approximately, I think they're over like at 25 shows now, between September and December. So I think the word's starting to get out, but I think it's not going to be until U2 actually has a show that you're really going to see everything about the sphere. But it's supposed to be one of a kind, ahead of its time. There's no other music venue like this in the world. It is a one of a kind venue.
Yeah, at $1 billion over budget, it better be.
Yeah, $2 billion is absolutely insane. They are going to be. It's going to take them a long time to recoup that money, for sure.
Is it privately owned?
It's the guy James Dolan, who I think that's his name. He's the president of the Knicks and the president of Madison Square Garden. He's the guy behind this.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
William, a lot has gone on since we spoke 3 to 4 weeks ago in the world, and there's a lot of there's a word I was going to use, but it's escaped me. I was going to say lunacy, but I don't know if lunacy is an actual word.
Oh, lunacy is definitely.
I'll still use it, though, but I don't know. Disclaimer, there's an asterisk next to it. I don't know if it's an actual word. Lunacy. There's been a lot of lunacy going on in the world, and I think we should cover some of those things.
Let's cover some of it. Let's get to it.
Hello?
What do you got?
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Doug? Douglas? Hello? I can hear you. Doug?
William?
Uh-oh.
This is not good that we've lost William, because that means there's editing involved at this point, and I'm not capable of doing any editing on this Riverside website that we used to record the podcast. Yep, William is gone. It is official. He is not in the studio any longer. Let's see if William can rejoin us in the studio any moment now. Let's see what happens. Welcome back to Off the Rails with Will and Doug, as we have done just that, gone off the rails after 16 minutes of podcasting. After almost 4 weeks of not podcasting, the rust is evident as we've gone off the rails, lost contact with William. Allegedly, his computer stopped working. Seems a little fishy to me that they're just stopped working, but okay, if you say so. But we're back, and we're going to see.
We're going to see. I'm looking over your list, Douglas. You have added a whole bunch of stuff.
I did. It's a lot of stuff that I've taken notes and taken screenshots and added to my phone, but it doesn't get added to the list as I haven't been on my personal computer in quite some time. William, I've added a lot of stuff. I was saying before we got really disconnected by your broken computer at that time that a lot has gone on in the world over the last 3 to 4 weeks since we were gone. There's a lot of lunacy. Not sure if it's a word, but maybe it is. And I think we should jump in to some of the lunacy that's been going on around the world, including some Arkansas news, some Lincoln news, and some national news.
William, nice, let's go. Let's get it.
Have you heard about the man who married a rag doll? He has rag doll children with his rag doll wife. And in April, I believe, had an issue where his rag doll wife fell ill and had to be treated by some paramedics. It was all caught on video.
Oh.
This is very real, apparently. And it's, I don't know if it's disturbing, if it's very odd.
Yeah, disturbing is probably the proper word, Douglas.
A man married to a rag doll has been left distraught after his wife reportedly fell ill and was treated in an ambulance by paramedics. Christian Montenegro recently hit the headlines after revealing that he and his partner Natalia have welcomed their third rag doll baby into the world.
Nice. That's exciting.
Now the pair have shared another update from their controversial relationship, as it appears the 27-year-old's wife has taken a bad turn with her rag doll health. There was a clip shared online, so you can go look at this yourself, where Christian from Bogota, Colombia, shows his wife laying in the back of an ambulance while paramedics tend to her. Now, in the video, he can be heard saying, quote, "She had a headache and fainted." Quote, "I called you because I don't want her to die. She is the mother of my daughter." The paramedic responded, and then he said to his ragdoll wife, "Everything will be fine, my love." Reassuring his distraught ragdoll wife who has fallen ill, tending to her, telling her it's going to be okay, my love. The paramedic replies, "We're going to take care of her. We're going to take her to the hospital and make sure that she is well. I'm going to take her vitals," while appearing as if they are trying not to laugh. There is a video on Instagram, Christian, CRISTIAN _ Montenegro, MONTENEGRO official, OFICIAL. Go to this person's Instagram. You've got to see this. He's dead serious. I thought maybe this was a joke, but I think this guy really, 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 really is in love and married this ragdoll. And it's a creepy looking ragdoll. It's got creepy little ragdoll children's, and it's absolutely astonishing that this is going on in Bogota, Colombia, or anywhere in the world. It's fun for the whole family, and I highly recommend that you check it out yourself.
Yeah, I'm stunned that the paramedics stuck around and assisted when they saw upon arrival that this was a doll. Like, I'm surely, Bogota's a pretty big city, my understanding. And I have to think that there was probably more pressing needs for these paramedics than a dude's ragdoll wife. Obviously, he's lonely, going through some mental health situation.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
Absolutely do. He has a ragdoll wife with ragdoll children. That, Douglas, is some mental health issues.
William, Christian allegedly began dating Natalia, after growing tired of being single for a number of years. Yeah. He's previously confronted his followers about their concerns surrounding the relationship. He said, if it weren't for dolls, I would be more alone than anyone.
He's talking to voices in his head.
He said, at least I have something, William. With my Natalia, we watch TV and talk about everything. They don't know how much I love her.
There is no her. It's a doll.
Her name is Natalia.
He's talking to himself in another personality.
He's talking to an object, a doll, an actual full-size non-person person. He's not talking to himself. He's talking to Natalia, his love of it, the mother of his ragdoll children. It's unclear if the care for the paramedics, it is unclear if the care from the paramedic is a prank or a genuine incident. The videos generated controversy with local news sources. Local news sources, my God, I'm having a stroke, I think. I can't speak. It's terrible. Yeah, so that's, I like it. I'm going to see if there's any ragdoll women out there looking today. I'm going to get online. Have you seen
the movie Her, Douglas?
I have one time. I have seen it, yes.
Yeah, I feel like this is a real life version of Her.
Yeah. But the difference is he actually gets to hold Natalia.
Yeah, she was an AI virtual assistant.
Yeah, and the difference between her and this one is, at least in Her, he actually had a two-way conversation. When he spoke, he was responded. He got spoke to. There was back and forth conversation. This is a one-sided relationship between him and Natalia.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's disturbing. It's disturbing. Unfortunately.
It's good stuff. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I hope to see. I haven't started following Christian Montenegro, but now that I've talked about this story out loud with somebody other than myself, I will 100% be following Christian and his ragdoll family.
So this is a good story for Mental Health Awareness Month, Douglas, the month of May.
Well, and truth be told, that's why I put this together, because of that.
As long as he's happy and he remains alive, I guess it's fine. It's fine to be married to a ragdoll. She can't be fainting. You can't be using public services on her.
Yeah, and you know what she also can't do? Have ragdoll babies.
Can't have ragdoll babies.
It's impossible for her to birth a ragdoll child. And is he prepared to have different ragdoll children's in as far as infant and toddler and teenagers and adults? Is he prepared that, is he going to be, you know, he's got a ragdoll baby, a physical ragdoll baby in his possession, currently three of them. In 10 years, will he have ragdoll toddlers? Will he try to enroll his ragdoll children into school?
Well, what does the ragdoll wife do? What's her career? What's she going on?
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming she's a stay-at-home mother.
I think the ragdoll children have to be homeschooled.
Yeah, I would. I was thinking that as well. He might try to put them into school, but I think when he realizes that they don't want to have to, I don't know, carry the rag, you know, because they can't just leave the ragdoll children in the classroom. What happens when it's time for recess? Somebody's going to have to be responsible for taking that ragdoll child out.
Yeah, they definitely need to be in school.
Yeah, probably a homeschool situation for sure.
What's the wife's name, the ragdoll wife's name?
Natalia? Natalia?
I wonder how Natalia's pregnancy went.
I probably went without a hitch.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it was probably pretty smooth. Probably
home birth?
Definitely a home birth. Definitely a home birth.
Because we would have heard about that in the... If we're hearing about her fainting, surely we would have heard a story about her having a child.
Right. Now, mind you, this is his third ragdoll child with Natalia. So we would have heard... if they were having ragdoll children at the hospital, we would have heard about the first one.
Yeah.
Now,
is that why she fainted?
I don't believe... I don't believe she was pregnated at the time.
Okay. Well, that's good.
She just fell ill.
She fell ill. And... there's been no follow-up. I mean, we don't know why she fell ill.
Well, I haven't done a whole lot of research myself other than the one article.
Can we do his Instagram real quick? What's his name?
Well, you would ask me all these questions after I closed the article because I thought I was done and moving on with it.
Done. Okay, we'll give me a second. I had some further questions the more I thought about it.
No, and that's fine. I believe it was Christian_Montenegro official.
I got him. I'm on his Instagram right now. Let's check it out. Oh, here's a video. Oh, they're mariachi band. Oh, he's making out with her.
Oh, yes.
He's making out with her with the mariachi band playing for them.
Oh, isn't that fair? Are they like at a restaurant or...
It appears they're in an alley of some sort.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to tell if she's pregnant or not. She got a big old booty. All right, let's see here. Okay, this one, she's on the back of a motorcycle. Looks like
she wearing a helmet.
No helmet. But he doesn't have a helmet either. Let's see here. Oh, she's working out on this one. Unfortunately, let me see the translation here. Friends, very soon my wife Natalia will be teaching her exercise routines to maintain a beautiful figure like hers.
Oh, good. Nice.
Which one of them in a supermarket?
Oddly enough, I'm shocked. He's only got 197 followers.
That's incredible.
He's got 198 now.
Absolutely. About to have 199.
Yeah.
Went to the store. When did this fainting happen? Because I'm back in April, and we haven't seen anything.
Well, the article was from April. You can see that the paramedic video is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the seventh video down.
Okay, here we go.
There.
Friends, Natalia got sick. I had to call the emergency ambulance. She fainted several times. She told me that her head hurt a lot. I don't know. I don't want her to die. So there wasn't a follow-up. They just went on with life. She's fine. She's fine.
Obviously. If you look at the video prior to that, I wonder if they've got a physical relationship, because he looks like he's got a little bit of a, like maybe he got punched in the cheek. Look at that redness underneath his eye where the picture he's.
I don't know what's going on there. He definitely has an eye situation.
Yeah, he got punched. I hope he wasn't trying to defend. I hope there wasn't. It looks like they're on a public transportation, some sort of a bus in that picture. I hope that somebody didn't try to either hit on his wife, or maybe they talked about her eyebrows being really thick and dark, or I don't know. Maybe he had to defend her, or maybe they have a violent relationship and she punched him.
Very possible there's a domestic abuse going on there. That they do have a newborn for sure and two other children. Wow. Let me go ahead and hit this follow button so I can keep up with that. There's 198. So we'll wait for you, Douglas, to get on there. Oh, does Natalia have her own Instagram? Let me check here.
I was 198, and I now see that you're 199.
Okay, it just shows me 198. Okay, no problem.
Refresh that screen and you'll see 199. Yeah, followed by Will underscore concerts fan.
You know, it says Natalia, right? Underneath the bio. It says Natalia. And if you hit the C translation button, it says I'm crying.
Natalia, yes, it does.
Natalia means I'm crying.
I don't know about that.
All right, we'll move on. Let's move on.
She's a beautiful young lady who is fit, and I look forward to watching her.
She's doing her own gym classes, Douglas.
Her shoulders are not proportionate. She's got really long legs and really long gangly arms, but no shoulders, really. Maybe she'll talk about all of that in her workout videos or whatever.
Oh, man, Douglas, I feel like following him has opened up a new book of stuff that's going to appear on my Instagram feed, because now I got wife stabs husband over explicit photos with another woman, discovers the images were of her younger and thinner self.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait. Yes, I've followed as well. I can't wait for the tomfoolery to follow. This is fantastic. All right, everybody. Well, once again, go follow. Go check it out yourself. Maybe you don't need to follow, but I really think that you probably should. Once again, it's Christian underscore Montenegro official. I just now see the mariachi video of them making out in the alley of the street. That's just fantastic. What a beautiful
love.
Just a great loving relationship. I hope it's not violent like I thought. William, speaking of absolute fucking sickos and crazy people, we both had a story. You wrote it down on the list. I hadn't, but I wanted to talk about it. Nashville hotel manager charged after allegedly sucking on sleeping guests' toes.
Yeah.
A sort of nightmare. Wow. How? I mean, talk about. I wonder if that's part of the wake up service. Like, hey, I need a wake up call at 7:15. But this manager goes above and beyond and says, I will just come in and wake you up by sucking on your toes.
Yeah. This is a Hilton Hotel, Doug, in downtown Nashville. So if you go downtown in any city to a Hilton or a Marriott, this is good money that you're spending. This isn't some Econo Lodge, not a Super 8. This is a manager at a swanky downtown Nashville hotel.
I didn't realize that because I only read the headline. I didn't actually click on the article. I assumed it was some seedy roadside rent by the hour motel situation. This is a fucking Hilton.
Yeah, Hilton, located in the 100 block of 4th Avenue South, downtown Nashville's Hilton Hotel. Neil made a key card and used it to enter the guest room on March 30th around 5 a.m. The guest, Pete Brennan, told police he woke up and found Neil sucking on his toes. He immediately confronted Neil and recognized him as the person who had come into his room the day before with another employee to address an issue the guest was having with his TV. Officers arrived at the hotel and spoke with Neil, who allegedly admitted to entering the guest room, but said he did so after he allegedly smelled smoke and wanted to check on the victim. Neil did not report the smell of smoke to security, nor were there any reports about a smell of smoke in the hotel. The room key was not recovered. Investigators said Neil claimed he threw the key away. He was arrested on Friday at his home and jailed on $27,000 bond.
A little known fact, the Hilton Management Training Program teaches their managers, when you smell smoke and go into a person's room, if they are asleep or appear to be unconscious, the appropriate way to render aid and possibly to see if they are alive or not is to suck on their toes. I'm sure that Neil has probably handed over the handbook to the police to prove his innocence in that he was only following the proper Hilton management training procedures.
Well, so here's what a Hilton spokesperson said, that because the downtown Nashville location is actually independently owned. They cannot speak on the hotel's behalf. So the Hilton corporate, they're washing their hands of this. They're like,
yeah.
Yes. Looks like the attorneys found Neil had a lengthy criminal history, multiple charges of forgery, drinking and driving, a manslaughter conviction as well, which served prison time. That's awful background check use. It looks like he must have been great in the interview. You think he sucked toes in the interview and that's why he got the job?
It's certainly possible, or he spoke to his love of it and how multiple charges of forgery, drinking and driving, a manslaughter conviction as well. Now, I was thinking it was like driving drunk, hit somebody, killed him. No, it's separated. We've got drinking and driving, comma, a manslaughter conviction as well, comma, which he served prison time for. How he made it how he even got an interview is amazing. Yes, people deserve a second chance, but to be a hotel manager and you have multiple charges of forgery, manslaughter, drinking and driving, whatever. But manslaughter and forgery, and you're applying to be the manager of a fucking Hilton in downtown Nashville? That whole fucking operation at that Hilton is having issues. It's not just him. Whoever fucking hired him, what does their background look like? They're like, oh, he's cool. Multiple forgery charges, manslaughter. He ain't got shit on me. Bring him in.
Brennan, I think, is going to come away with the hotel in this one. He's going to get some money. He may be able to buy the hotel. That may be part of the compensation package because, he's getting hooked up. It's an unfortunate thing to have to wake up to. I'm stunned that Brennan didn't kill the guy, but I applaud Brennan on his demeanor to just call the police instead of taking matters into his own hands. That's shocking. I don't know what you would do if you woke up and found a man, stranger, sucking on your toes.
Goodness. The first thing I would do, and it wouldn't even be, it would just be reactionary. I would have kicked him clean in his fucking head. Yeah. With the foot that was being sucked on, I would have reared my leg back and fucking soccer kicked him right in the goddamn head without even thinking about it. It wouldn't have been like I need to kick this guy in the head. It would have just been involuntary, I think. Feel like I have any sort of feeling of something on my foot when I'm in bed, I kick my goddamn leg.
Yeah, you know how in movies and TV shows when people are sleeping and something in real life is happening, but they kind of sleep through it. They think they're dreaming and they kind of react. Do you think Brennan, was this immediate as soon as the mouth hit the toe?
Nope.
He was like, what the fuck? Or had this guy possibly been sucking on the toes for a few minutes before Brennan was able to come to and realize something was amiss here?
Absolutely. First of all, when you look at Neil's picture, he looks like he's a gentle toe sucker to begin with. I mean, I think he's probably a soft, gentle, loving foot fetish kind of guy. First of all, he looks like a goddamn toe sucker who sucks on toes without permission. He looks like an unfucking oh man. I think that you're right. I think that he was sucking on Brennan's toes, who knows. And I think he probably got away with it for a couple minutes up to before Brennan finally woke up. Yes, this invaded Brennan's fucking dream. Whatever he was dreaming about at that time, in some form or fashion, he started getting some sort of sensation on his foot that probably invaded his dream, and it probably happened for a couple minutes before he woke up. And yes, do you wake up and immediately fucking scream? Do you wake up, look down, and process it for a split second? Because it's so out of this world. You would never in a million years think that you would wake up to somebody in your fucking hotel room sucking on your foot. I would think I would be struck by lightning. I would have complete faith that I would be hit by lightning before I would ever wake up to somebody sucking on my toe. So I wonder if you just look for a second, you're like, what the fuck is happening? Is this really? No. Am I awake? What the fuck? And did Neil just kind of look up at him sheepishly like, what? It's not that. Come on. It's not that big of a deal.
Pitch dark in there. But I do want to say one thing, Doug. To me, a guy with a manslaughter conviction is not a gentle toe sucker. I don't mean to stereotype manslaughter convictions. I just don't see him as a gentle toe sucker. And the other thing is, when he opened the door, does he crawl to the bed from the door, or does he just walk in normal and then get to, like, you know how in hotels, like, the sheets are tucked in to walls? Like, he had to probably do some untucking, right?
Yeah, you're probably. Well, it depends. If he was under the blankets, for sure he had to get under there. And it's a tight tuck, too.
That's a, like, real tight tuck.
They don't bullshit. So, yeah, I don't think that he had to crawl in. I think that, because it's dark, like you said. I think he could slowly walk in. And I will now agree with you that you can't have a manslaughter charge and still be a gentle toe sucker. But he doesn't. I really want to know more about this manslaughter charge, because he doesn't, to once again go back to judging a book by its cover. His mugshot in this picture online, or I'm assuming it's a picture from jail, doesn't scream manslaughter. Doesn't scream somebody that's tried to kill or has killed. But, you know, neither did Jeffrey Dahmer. So.
Yeah. The other thing, was this his first toe-sucking incident at the hotel? Because I haven't seen a lot of other people come forward.
Great question. You know, you would think that much like an accuser of, you know, people come out of the woodworks whenever when somebody says Trump raped me, next thing you know, you've got five other people that come out and say, well, she gave me the strength to speak up. You would think that if this wasn't his first time sucking on toes, that you're correct. There would be somebody else out there that'd be like, well, I didn't say anything because I was so shocked, embarrassed. I didn't know what to do. So I didn't say anything, but I now want to come forth because Brennan has given me the strength and courage to report that 4 years ago, while I was staying at that same Hilton, I was woke up three times by Neil sucking on my toes. And then apologizing and offering me a free breakfast buffet.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find his manslaughter case. It looks like it was from 1997, and he had to serve 4.5 years in the Department of Corrections.
Does manslaughter mean that you did kill somebody, or you had tried to kill somebody? Because if you succeeded and only had to serve 4 years, what the fuck? And only 4 years, period? What does a manslaughter charge even mean?
So he was indicted for the offense of murder in the second degree involving the death of his roommate, Wally Haynes, in 1996. The jury found the defendant guilty of voluntary manslaughter. The record does not contain a transcript of the actual facts surrounding the death of Wally Haynes.
Wow.
Yeah, he murdered his roommate.
Would you look at that?
Yeah, isn't that Wally? This says, me and Wally had gone out to the shoot in Winona's bar. We had a mostly normal night. On the way home, he was angry about something. I never really knew why he was angry to start out with. I told him that he was either going to love life or love cocaine, and he slammed on the brakes and slammed the car into park and got out. I drove home. On the rest of the way home, he was pulling on his hair and making animal noises. Ripped the rearview mirror off the windshield. I tried to remain calm and finally got home. When we got home, Wally was still in the state of mind and got into an argument. I tried to leave and he grabbed me and threw me on the couch and cut my hair off. I fought him off, pulling on his hair, pushing and kicking. He flew into a rage and started crashing furniture. I tried to leave again. He grabbed me again and was holding my face down on the cushions of the couch. He told me, you're not leaving here under your own power. You're going to be carried out. I pushed him off a second time and went to the bedroom. I had only seconds to grab my gun. When I turned around, he was standing just inside the doorway. I managed to get around him and tried to leave. He prevented me from doing so by coming up behind me and threw me down. We got into another physical struggle, and he told me a second time he was going to kill me. When I broke free, I fired. The first shot didn't stop him. I fired another shot. So he killed him by a shot.
self-defense.
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
Interesting. William, I want to talk about something that happened in your home state and see if you're familiar with this.
Go ahead.
Arkansas woman feeds meth to fawns, hoping they will grow up to attack hunters. Summit, Arkansas.
So I've heard this is a hoax, not a true story, Douglas.
Oh, really? I like it to be a true story. So much better. Bridget Watkins, 43, of Summit, Arkansas, who allegedly took fawns into her home and raised the deer with the intentions of training them to attack hunters when taken into custody Friday. At the time of the arrest, Watkins was in possession of several grams of meth, four deer, and many stolen broken electronics. Attention was drawn to Watkins when she began giving meth to the young deer, and they were caught rummaging through people's garages and back porches. A homeowner followed one of the deer back to Watkins' residence in an attempt to recover his property. He found himself face to face with Watkins wearing only a duct tape bikini, disassembling his clock radio, charges pending further investigation. That's the article I read, and you're telling me this is a hoax?
Yeah, AP's assessment, false. The claim first appeared in a post by a Facebook page that is clearly labeled as satire. A woman in a photo accompanying the post was arrested on multiple drug-related charges in Indiana last year. A second photo that shows a deer standing on furniture in a house was taken in Canada in 2019. So it's a fabricated story illustrated with the photos that's circulating widely on social media.
Man, that's disappointing. That's really disappointing. My favorite part of the story wasn't the deer and the meth. It was her wearing a duct tape bikini. I just loved the visual of a woman with deer in her house. She's probably a little disheveled and crazy, obviously. She's stealing people's property as far as electronics are concerned. And he walked into her house and she was disassembling the clock radio wearing a duct tape bikini. And it's not true. Because it really feels like it could be a real story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, person who wrote it did a very good job because they tricked many a people.
Kudos to them. Well, not much to discuss there. We're not going to go much longer. How about, here's a fantastic news article out of Lincoln, Nebraska. We have a serial peeper. Lincoln arrested for the 11th time, a serial peeper. May 11th. A man has been arrested for the same crime for the 11th time after he was caught peering into someone's window in Havelock neighborhood. According to the LPD, Wednesday, just before midnight, officers were dispatched on a report of a prowler near a home on blah, 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 blah. Responding officer made contact with the 64-year-old Joseph Reyna, who they claim was actively peering through a bedroom window. Police said the officer verbally engaged Reyna, who ran away towards the alley. LPD said Reyna was found in the alley between da-da-da-da-da. According to the officers, a neighbor called police after spotting Reyna peering into a bedroom window that was occupied by two people. Reyna was taken to jail and facing unlawful intrusion and criminal mischief charges. Reyna has been arrested roughly 11 times since 2021.
Oh, this goes back all the way to 1985, Douglas. This man, obviously, another mental health awareness check. You know, it's hard to be a peeper in 2023, Douglas. There's a lot of cameras out there. You can't like you could back in the old days.
Yeah. It's become more of an art form than ever to really be able to get away with something like peeping. It's just damn near impossible because, yes, there's video. I watched a little bit of video of this guy doing his peeping. They've got him all over town in alleys, at houses. He's just been, yes, there's a camera on every fucking house, in every alley, on every car. My God, Teslas are recording 360 degrees around the automobile 24 hours a fucking day. I mean, that's just incredible alone when a car is parked in a garage and it's recording everything around it or just period. I mean, you can't, that's what I've said in previous episodes, like people that are doing criminal activities, you can't get away with it. But at the same token, sure you can, because just because I have it on video doesn't mean I can make out your description or find who you are. But yeah, this fucking guy, that's incredible. And I don't know. And I think he's already spent some time in jail for this, been charged and found guilty. I don't know what the answer is. But it's, they got to figure something out. Cause you just can't have, and I think about that shit all the time. I never in my life have left a window open at night as far as like the blinds are concerned. Because I'm not saying I've got anything that people want to peep and Tom for, but I'm just weary that at night when your windows are open, I can see in your house, which you can't see out. You can't see when there's somebody standing 4 feet away, just staring at you through a window because you can't see out into the night unless you've got your, you know, lights on in your yard or something. And I, unfortunately, I just think there's so many people out there that probably do some undercover peeping. And I think about it every time I'm driving down a road in a neighborhood. I'm like, yep, hey, I see you on your couch watching television. Look at you making, doing dishes in your kitchen, just driving by, seeing everybody and all their activities. It just feels odd to me. Like I shouldn't be able to watch what you're doing in your house when I'm driving by or walking by. And so I don't know, man, I don't know where I was going with any of that, but I can't.
I wonder what Reyna has been doing with his life. So he's 62 years old.
Four.
I'm guessing he's not homeless. He's hadn't been working, but this again, this goes back to the 80s. It's the same thing as this hotel manager. They may know each other for all we know. They may be good. He did a few years in the late 80s, early 90s for forgery and theft. This guy has almost 40 years of courts and arrest. I just don't know how a person like that is able to stay in society when you have nearly 40 years of criminal cases to your name. He needs to go to jail for a long time at this point.
Absolutely he does. And it's... Yeah, what are you in for? Oh, I'm serving life for fucking peeping into people's windows.
Peeping.
And now he's not just peeping, he's playing too. Because in one of these videos, he's got his hand on his penis while he's peeping. So, you know, it's not.
But he needs to go to like some type of home and remain there for the rest of his days.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be out on the street fucking playing with his penis while peeping in people's windows. It's not, he needs to be at the regional center. He needs to be in a mental health facility, possibly.
But he needs to be locked in there, or he's just going to be peeping in other people at that place.
Oh, for sure. He doesn't need work release. He doesn't need to be locked up where he can leave that place, go get fucking 3 hours of fucking penis peeping in, and then go back to the facility.
I'm talking about penis peeping at the facility. Like, you can't just leave that man be at the facility with all these other beds and rooms because he's going to go penis peeping in there too.
Now, listen, that's, you know, I hate to be, who gives a shit? You know what he's I mean? He'll get justice. If he's fucking penis peeping in the goddamn jail, somebody's going to handle that real soon. His penis peeping ain't going to last very long in prison. They're not going to take too kindly to that.
Or maybe they will take on that. Who knows?
That's a solid.
Between eyes, they'll figure something out.
That's solid. That's true. Yeah. William, what did you have? I feel like you had something else we wanted to talk about.
Mine are really the subject titles. Oral sex may be the biggest factor in the rise of throat cancer in the United States. And I added that women around the world rejoice. They now have something they can say to their husbands and boyfriends, so they don't have to do that anymore. So they're, God bless women for that. Attendee has a loud and full body orgasm during an LA Philharmonic performance. I don't know if you took the time to see that story, Doug. There's like a 5-second snippet out there.
I heard it on Howard Stern. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, I don't know. It was like a yell, but to me, I don't know how to justify saying that that's a full body orgasm.
The video, the audio is not evidence of the title.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So I don't know. I had a hard time with that one.
William, I do have some questions. We got political on our last episode, and I'd really kind of like to get political real quick with you.
Sure. Let's go.
I wrote this on my notes, but I forgot that I wrote it on my notes. William, the debt ceiling has been in the news a lot lately.
It's all over the place.
You know, so there's a lot of stuff with the Republicans saying that we're not going to raise the debt ceiling without making some. You got to agree to some things we want. President originally said we're not agreeing to shit. And now he's actually saying, all right, maybe we'll have to do some things. But I don't understand the debt ceiling. Who do we owe money to? Who, when they say that we're in debt, we owe this money, and if they don't raise the debt ceiling, we're going to default on things, and it's going to throw our country into a world of shit. Now, Trump, I saw in his town hall, doesn't think that the debt is that big of a deal, and said, yeah, maybe it will cause some problems, but it'll only be for a day or two. It won't be that long, won't be that big of a deal. The Republicans shouldn't cave in. But my question is, who do we owe this money to? Who's going to be banging on our door saying, hey, motherfuckers, we want our money? How does that go away when you raise the ceiling and say, well, we'll just owe more money? We raise the debt ceiling. And why are we giving away so much goddamn money if we're so much in debt? I don't understand this whole debt thing, and go.
Yeah, so I think that the debt ceiling conversation topic is one of those political topics where I think it just kind of glosses over hundreds of, maybe tens of millions of Americans. I don't know what the hell it means. It's very confusing. We raise it all the time. We're trillions of dollars in debt.
Who do we owe money to that it's trillions of dollars in debt when we fucking give away trillions of dollars to countries all the time, yet we're in debt? If we stop giving away money, will we no longer be in debt? Well, I don't understand it.
This really hits the title of our show, Doug, and the description. That's because the truth is that I don't think we're going to have to Google it, but I don't even think then we're going to understand. I just know when individually we're in debt, that means we owe borrowers money. So yep. The United States owes borrowers, but I don't know who those borrowers are. But it would have to be the Treasury Department. But I don't know, when you're the government and the Treasury Department's a part of the government, I don't know that owing money to yourself is really that big of a deal. So I don't know these answers, Douglas. We can do a quick Google search.
We don't have time. It's 1:55.
Potential repercussions of reaching the ceiling include a downgrade by credit rating agencies, increased borrowing costs for businesses and homeowners alike, and a drop-off in consumer confidence that could shock the U.S. financial market and tip the economy into recession.
Yeah, and you know what? That doesn't mean a fucking thing to me. I don't know what you just said, and that doesn't answer anything. It did just answer it, but it went fucking in one ear and right out the other.
That's what I'm saying. Hey. We've run a deficit averaging $1 trillion every year since 2001, Doug. So we've been doing this for 23 years at this point.
Yeah.
So does it matter?
Does it? Know. Apparently it does, but it doesn't. It obviously doesn't, because we know, yes, I believe in the past when they didn't raise the ceiling, they had to shut down government jobs, right? So there was no longer, like, park rangers weren't able to go to work. There was national monuments weren't being cleaned anymore. You know, it affected people, and yes, they had to shut down government positions for a while before they opened back up, which sucks. That causes people hardship. It's terrible, but inevitably they're going to raise it so that people can go back to work. So it clearly means to me, like, whoever we owe this money to, we're never paying it back. If we owe it to ourselves, we're never paying ourselves back. If we owe it to other people, we're never fucking paying you, because we're just going to raise some ceiling, whatever the fuck that means, that gives us the authority to not pay it off.
Yeah, since 1960, Doug, the Congress has increased the ceiling 78 times.
And about to be a 79th.
Yeah, about to be 79th. If we can come to an agreement, which in this day and age, we likely will not be able to get to. So at that point, I believe the government shuts down and shit hits the fan, but I don't know the reason why.
Why does the blue check mark really matter?
It doesn't. This is an Elon Musk thing. I think Elon does a lot of great things with SpaceX and Tesla. He's just fucking with people on Twitter, and nothing he really does makes sense. He engages with the far right, like extremists, a lot. He doesn't really engage with the left wing political party at all. Possibly it's nothing but trolling, and he's possibly just completely upset that Democrats have kind of threw him to the side when what he's trying to do is much more aligned with the left than the right. But yeah, blue checks do not matter. There is, at this point, it's no longer a sign of importance. It's just telling us that you have paid $8 a month to the richest man in the fucking world.
It's incredible. William, it's been a joy. I look forward to talking to you again in approximately 3 to 5 weeks when we record our next episode of Off the Rails with Will and Doug. Thank you to the tens of people that have listening and are still faithful to Off the Rails with Will and Doug. We appreciate you. And to those of you that fell off, thank you for coming back and listening to this episode 3 years from now. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. William, it's been a pleasure. I have to urinate heavily. You have a concert to get to in 2 minutes. It's been fun for the whole family. Thanks for tuning in. We're out.
Goodbye.
We're Doug and Will, and we are off the rails.